Okay, is that good? Can everybody hear? I can never quite get this thing right. I think the last couple times I've had the stand-up mic and I've nearly knocked it over a couple times. So I went through a couple. I'm really glad to be talking this morning. The topic this morning is being intentional and strategic in evangelism. And some of y'all may think, wow, this guy has a kind of evangelistic gong that he wants to be, because it seems like most times when I'm up here doing Sunday school, it's something on evangelism. The last time I taught Sunday school, it was on like everyday evangelism, and it was there were five words that we talked about: connect, God, man, Christ, response. I don't expect anybody to remember the last session. It wasn't that memorable. But as I was thinking through the topic this morning, what do I want to talk about? And I kind of bounced back and forth between things, and I thought, well, what is it that I'm actually have been thinking through and am kind of focused on right now in some of our prep to head to Ireland, but here, just engaging unbelievers, engaging people who don't follow Jesus here in St. Joe. And so I want to talk about being intentional and strategic in evangelism. Now, those two words are kind of buzzwords. They're kind of trendy words: be intentional, be strategic, and those kinds of things. All I really mean is setting your mind to think about something and having a plan. It's not meant to be anything trendy. Can anyone think of ways, though, that Jesus himself was intentional or strategic in the way that he shared the gospel with people? This will require some interaction, too, so please just feel free to blurt whatever out. It's okay. Okay, say that again. Yeah. Proximity is key. He gets into people's lives. He meets them in their context, sometimes in a context where he would be really unexpected to be there, like as the Messiah, or even just as a man, a Jewish man. Anybody else? Yeah. Okay. All right. Good. Yeah, he knows how to ask questions. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And yeah, that's a great point. And he actually, there were times that he could have done miracles and he didn't. So he knew when to do the miracles and he knew when to not do the miracles. There's a plan. Right, so Jesus' whole ministry in coming to earth, becoming a baby, a toddler, a teenager, a young man, and starting his ministry as the Messiah, all of that was with a purpose, right? First John tells us that the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. So that's one of the purposes of Jesus' strategy, is to destroy the works of the devil. And there's a whole host of other reasons that Jesus came. But what I want to do today, and I kind of got this, I made a lot of work for myself erasing this board, but I thought it might be easier to see. I want to talk about barriers to evangelism, which pretty much, we talked about that a lot the last time. Barriers to us sharing the gospel. Normal conversations, like turning normal conversations, or what we consider like everyday kind of non-spiritual, they're actually quite spiritual, but non-spiritual conversations to spiritual things, and then using your life work, kind of some practical things. So we want to talk about those. Can anybody think of a barrier? You could be general, or you could just be super specific in your own life. What's a barrier to sharing the gospel? Okay, yeah, they think they know who Jesus is. Like, you can flip on the radio, bot radio network, whatever it is, flip on the TV, and you can hear about Jesus, sometimes some good stuff, sometimes some not so good stuff. Yeah, people think they already know what the gospel is. They already have a formed, especially in America, people have a formed opinion about Jesus already. Okay, that can be a barrier. What people already do know, some of which is true, some of which might not be true, can be a barrier. It can also be an access point, but yeah. Okay, to sharing the gospel, okay. Okay, there could be some of those, yeah. Fear could be one. We're just kind of afraid to share the gospel. Maybe it's awkward. That's the big one. I think, for people is like, well, I don't know. I know this is true, but sometimes you have a relationship that you're invested in. Sometimes it's a one-off, and you don't. Sometimes it's easier, right, to share the gospel with somebody you don't know, because you might not have to interact with them again. But then somebody you already have a deep invested relationship with, you're going to have to see that person at work tomorrow, or see that family member next week, or at Christmas, or whatever it might be. Okay. There's also some things I think that we don't think about that are helpful to take into account, besides the fear and the socioeconomic and the things that people know. Is modern life is pretty busy, right? Everyone's got a stacked schedule. There's lots going on. Like, you might have 6 kids, or you might have 2 kids, or you might have 1 kid. You've got a job. You're meeting with other Christians, all of which is great, right? We're supposed to disciple each other. But some of these things really can get in the way. They're barriers. It doesn't mean that they're insurmountable barriers. It just means that they're the concrete facts, or the concrete sort of things throughout our day that don't change. Work, kids, basketball, discipleship, discipling other Christians, community group, those kinds of things that can be barriers. Now, a community group shouldn't be a barrier to the sharing the gospel, but it's just part of our everyday warp and woop of life, all right? So a couple questions as far as barriers, thinking through all those things. There might be more barriers. Does anybody have any other ones, any ones you can think of? I don't want to leave any out. I probably didn't think of all of them, to be honest. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and they're probably already watching you. yeah, it's true. I do this. I had a guy that I've been sharing the gospel with for about a year. I see him all the time. I've mentioned before. I said something the other day to him. He came in to the coffee shop, and I said, "Have you ever read the Bible?" There was context for it. I didn't just like shoot that missile at him, but and he was like, "What?" The tone changed, but I have enough capital with him that he didn't think much of it. Yeah, Jesse.
Another barrier is like not being comfortable knowing how.
Yeah, that's tough. The turning the normal conversations. Did somebody else have their hand up? I'm sorry, I maybe missed it. Yeah. Oh boy. Right now, that's right. Yep, that's right. So barriers, maybe we could put fear, politics, especially now, it's pretty politically charged, not knowing, my handwriting's horrible, how to turn the conversation. There was socioeconomic, I won't write all of them up there, but there are some barriers. Let's think about some questions, though. When we think about the barriers, we should ask some questions. Number one, are we motivated? Okay, everybody is in this room. You're here voluntarily. Nobody twisted your arm to come, right? Are we motivated? What are some, so everyone here would probably say yes, right? We're motivated. We've encountered Jesus. We believe the gospel. You probably have even shared the gospel with people before. But are we motivated consistently to share the gospel? And again, also just to stop, this isn't meant to be a big guilt trip, evangelism guilt trip, but it is something to think about. Are we motivated? What are some motivations for sharing the gospel? What'd you say, Joe? Okay, love. Flesh that out a little bit. What do you mean? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, there's a heaven, there's a hell. And Paul, I mean, we can nuance it however we want, and say everyone's on a journey and there's a spectrum. But for Paul, he says there's believers and there's unbelievers. There really are. At the end of the day, there are believers and there are unbelievers. There are people who follow Jesus and don't follow Jesus and follow something else or themselves or false gods. That's a huge motivation, love, okay? I read a quote one time. It was by some atheists, and I wish I would have written it down, about Christians who don't share the gospel, and I wish I could remember it. I probably shouldn't even brought it up. It's going to bug me now. about where it is, but they were just talking about how much do you, that paraphrasing, how much do you have to hate somebody or to not like somebody to really believe this is true, but then not tell them or even make an attempt to tell them, right? Okay, can anybody think of any wrong motivations for sharing the gospel? Love's a great one. Can anybody think of, yeah, I've done that before actually. Like, man, I gotta share the gospel to relieve my own conscience. I've done that before. Guilt isn't always a bad thing, but we don't want that to be the prime motivating factor. Okay, so are you motivated? Yes, we're motivated. Are you equipped? Okay, and by this I mean, are you capable as a Christian of sharing the gospel? And some of this kind of just boils down to the main, like, do we know the content of the gospel? Yes. Do we know about God, but do we also know God? All right, so there's two components to that, right? You can know a lot of stuff about God. You can actually know, connect. I know I got to connect with somebody. God, man, Christ response. You can know the facts, but there's no power in it because a person, maybe your walk with the Lord isn't as close as it should be. Like you're struggling. There are those things that happen. But what I mean by like being equipped to share the gospel primarily is, do we know the gospel? Are we motivated to share the gospel? And I got a note here that says, you know, like sometimes we don't feel equipped because we think there are so many different kinds of people out there. In St. Joe alone, like just for example, what are there, approximately 80,000 people that live here, and you've got Hindus, Muslims, secular people, Roman Catholics, people who don't know what they believe, agnostics, you've got New Age, I mean, you get a whole host of people. We think, how in the world can I be equipped just as like a normal person to be able to engage all these different kinds of things? And one thing that I found helpful, what we're really looking for is a bridge, right? We don't know who we're going to encounter, but we're looking for a bridge to come from us and the gospel that we carry to get to this person. We know it's not up to us, right, to save this person, to change this person's heart, but it actually is up to us to tell people. God isn't just going to zap people with a lightning bolt. He could, but in his providence, in his sovereignty, he said, I'm going to bring some partners along with me to do this. I don't have to, but I'm going to, and it's you, and it's me. So the thing I like to think about, though, is that even though we meet lots of different kinds of people, they all have families, they all have pets, they all have, like, sports, they're all sorts of different things. They eat breakfast, they eat lunch, they eat dinner. They're just like you and myself in so many different ways. So people are different, but they're not all that different. They have some of the same concerns. They dream about things. They're scared of certain things. There are all sorts of access points for the gospel, even if you don't understand everything about that person. And so some of it, again, comes down to just simply, do we know the content of the gospel? Are we motivated and moving into people's life? Does anybody want to share a little bit? There's no, like, wrong answer or thing here. Does anyone want to share a little bit about how you learned to share the gospel? Like, I'm not much of a methods kind of person. Like, hey, there's these methods to sharing the gospel. I know I did a thing on five words evangelism, which is kind of a method. But does anybody want to share just a quick story or maybe how you learned to share the gospel? Yeah. Oh, good. What was it? Okay. RCCR? Okay. That's good. Okay, good. Yeah, those are helpful hooks. There's like, I'm trying to think of, Lauren, is it Will that uses the bridge diagram? Okay, right. So the Navigators has a bridge diagram going through Romans, I think. Or there's like the Romans Road. Any of these are great. The Spore of Spiritual Laws. you know, a lot could be said about that. But it's okay. Like, it could be an entry point. I'm not much of a methods guy. I like to build relationships over time. It doesn't mean I don't share the gospel in one-off situations. But I like to get, just some of it's my personality. I like to get into their experience a little bit and know them a little bit better. And obviously, all sharing of the gospel that we're gonna do is gonna be motivated by love. But I just find it's easier for me to love somebody if I know them a little bit better. If I hear a little bit about their fears, their concerns, I know a little bit about their everyday life. It just kind of helps me to do that. But sometimes you have to be careful with just focusing on like relationship evangelism. Like, I have to have this super deep connection. Well, then sometimes you never actually share the gospel with them, and then you actually get more afraid. And you're like, well, I don't want to ruin this friendship, so you just don't ever get around to it. So I think it's a bit of a trepid waltz there, but this is what I like. Like, I like asking questions. Like, have you gone to church recently? Or, you know, what was it like? What did you think about it? These kind of open-ended questions that don't say, well, if you didn't have a good experience at church, then I'm going to condemn you. But just like having them open their mind to you about spiritual things, or asking them, like, what's your spiritual background? Or the one that I asked this gentleman the other day, have you ever read the Bible, and what did you think about it? He had some thoughts. Those are filed away for later. Like, what do you think happens when you die? Or would you say, Joe, it's the way of the master, right? So one of the things they like to use is, so you think you're a pretty good person? That's a good one. Everyone thinks they're a good person, or at least better than the next guy. And then somewhere along the line, I like to ask questions. There's a book called, check my time here. There's a book called The One Thing That You Can't Do in Heaven. And it's a little cheat. You might think it's a little cheesy if you read it. But this guy is a really bold evangelist. And there's a section in there, a chapter called Four Deadly Questions. And you do have to be careful in some ways with these questions because people can take them the wrong way. But I like to follow up with things like, what do you mean by that? Like, what do you mean by that? For example, one thing I hear a lot if I'm talking to someone who's not a Christian is that aren't all religions pretty much the same? They're just trying to get people to be good. They're just trying to manage people's moral behavior. So they're trying to flatten out Islam, Christianity, Hinduism, all that stuff. And then it helps to clarify, well, what do you mean by that? Do you mean like that Islam is the same as Christianity? Do you mean that Muhammad or Buddha is the same as Jesus? Like, what do you mean by that? And it just gives them the opportunity to clarify things. So I find that questions are really, really helpful for me. Another one is like, where did you get your information? Where did you learn that? Like, who told you that? Did they hear it from somebody? Did they use Wikipedia? Or, you know, where do they get that information? How do you know it's true? That's another one. And what if you're wrong? What if you're mistaken about that? No one likes that question. Anyone I've ever asked that question to, like, what if you're wrong? That can have a barb that goes along with it, but you should ask it. You should just ask it. It's good. So barriers, like, are you motivated? Are you equipped? Yes, you're equipped. Just being curious about people, knowing the gospel and being curious about people is really, really helpful in thinking about intentionality and planning to share the gospel. The next question is, I should write this up. So, motivated, equipped, and available. Are you available? I think that's, everybody's available. Everybody's available. Hey, buddy, you want to come up here? He's just doing some laps. It's all good. He's getting in some cardio. Sweet. So here's the question. Have you ever been around, hey, come here, buddy. I'm going to chase you to your dad. Are you ever around non-Christians? That's a good question to ask yourself. Are you almost exclusively around Christians and that's it? You should be around, we should all be around Christians, right? The church should be filled with Christians. But are you exclusively around Christians? Do you have any friends who aren't Christians that you're regularly with? Do we make it a priority? Maybe you have unbelieving friends at work. Maybe you work out a lot and go to the gym. I like to get up really early. I'll confess, I have been horrible at building relationships at the gym. I go from like five in the morning, but everyone has their earbuds in, and they're not. And so that's not an excuse. You can have conversations with people. But wherever it is that you're going and spending time, are you available to those people? So if you're only around believers, then maybe ask why, and you know what practical steps can you take to change that. Hopefully that makes sense. So the question, there's some barriers: fear, politics, motivation. Are we equipped? Are we available? Normal conversations. I think Jesse mentioned this. Like one of the barriers is like, how do I take a normal conversation? And even saying it like that kind of betrays a spiritual versus non-spiritual kind of distinction. I don't think it's helpful. But how do we take a normal everyday conversation and turn it for gospel purposes and get people to start thinking about spiritual things? So evangelism, right, is supposed to be this kind of natural outflow of a life that's dedicated to Jesus. We anyone who really knows Jesus wants other people to know about him, but it can be extremely awkward to turn things from the what we consider like the normal everyday things to more spiritual things. So what we want to talk about is like, how do you turn a conversation about basketball or someone's struggles at work or you know, how school is going for your friend's children to something spiritual? It doesn't have to be every single time, you got to the law, you got to the gospel, boom, you're done. Like, sometimes it's just planting seeds along the way. Yes, we want to share the whole gospel, but with my own kids, I don't always have the time to every single conversation. If I'm sharing the gospel, I don't have time to always go law gospel every single time, every interaction I have with them. And the same way is with other people that you're talking to. Okay? So here's some kind of tips for building bridges in everyday conversation. So think about, like, pray for wisdom. Prayer is huge. Like, if you ask God to give you opportunities to share the gospel, he will. And if you ask for wisdom, what does the Bible say God's going to do? You're admitting that you don't have all the resources that you need for a given situation, and God says he's going to give it to you. That's what he promises. That's a promise from the scripture. So pray for wisdom on how quickly you should move towards the gospel. We vacillate between these extremes of, like, we don't actually ever bring the gospel to bear on conversations, but then sometimes we just get an Uzi out and it doesn't pray for wisdom in those situations. I've done that before. I'm using a lot of weapon examples right now, but like, sometimes I like whipped out the gospel napalm and just covered it over everything, and it wasn't helpful, at least that I could tell. Does anyone have any stories, like an anecdote or anything like that you want to share about something that you, like, about sharing the gospel in a situation where you had to move quickly or maybe you had to wait a little bit? Does anybody have any examples of that? Like, maybe you had 3 minutes to talk to someone and this is what you did, or, oh, I built this relationship and this is how it went. Does anybody have any anecdotes? Yeah. Okay.
So it seemed like a good opening. He was talking about, you know, why things are happening.
Uh-huh.
Well, it kind of seemed like there's, you know, something behind it. And I only had a few minutes because we were walking out, the job was done. I said, have you ever considered, you know, Jesus Christ? You know anything about him? And he said, oh, yeah, I've heard of him, but I'm thinking more like aliens. You know anything about aliens?
It is bizarre how many people will believe in aliens but don't believe in God. I mean, it really is. Yep. Okay. But you did what you could do.
I did what I could do, and I planted a seed, and if he ever, you know, gets another seed, but maybe, you know, like, he knows he can come to me because I said something about Jesus.
Right.
I run into him from time to time.
Yeah. Yeah, and thinking about what you might say to him and praying about what you might say to him the next time you run into him. Or even asking God, hey, there's this guy that believes in aliens. Will you give me another opportunity for this? Just asking God to do that. That's great. So pray for wisdom to turn these normal conversations into something more. Sowing seeds with your words and deeds. Does anyone have a... It's a silly question. Does anyone have a Bible? Can someone flip to Colossians 4 and read verses 5 through 6? Colossians 4, 5 through 6. Anybody, he just blurted out. Okay, that's great. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders. There should be something different about the way that Christians speak and carry themselves. I think sometimes, especially with folks that are my age, I know I look like I'm 12, but I'm 40. The people my age, there is this is something we need to pay attention to, because there's this trend in Reformed Christianity that has great intentions, but very poor application in this area when it comes to what comes out of their mouths. We're really concerned about being real and authentic and those kinds of things. And that's great, but I think the goal is we want people who aren't comfortable with Jesus to be more comfortable with Jesus because we're more like them. And I get the intention and the pull towards that, but sometimes I think that there's something about us that needs to make them very uncomfortable. They need to be able to sit down and talk with us and know that they have our ear and be comfortable with us in that way. But not because we're shooting off the mouth and acting like what the world acts like. I have a note here that says, we want them to feel uncomfortable, but we're not going to stoke any interest in Jesus by acting just like them. Most people are extremely dissatisfied with themselves, if they're honest. Is that clock right up there? We may have to continue this next week. I'm doing Sunday school next week, so maybe we'll continue this. But James says, if any man can control his tongue, he's a perfect man. So no one controls their tongue 100% of the time. But we need to take the words of Colossians seriously. Walk in wisdom. Use your time wisely. Let your speech be gracious and seasoned with salt. I'm guilty of not doing this as anybody is. Over time, though, people will be curious. They will be curious. If you spend any amount of time around unbelievers at all, they will be curious about why you act the way that you do. I remember I was a corrections officer just for like 8 months in between Bible college and seminary, and I worked with a whole bunch of guys who didn't follow Jesus, and it didn't take more than a couple of weeks of working with them for them to start asking questions, not because of anything I did, but sometimes it was just things I didn't do. Not anything positively I might have been saying. They just noticed this person is different. And I'm sure you've had the same kind of thing yourself. People will start to recognize that, and they'll bracket you as a religious person. They'll start to do that. And I think you can use those opportunities to intentionally sprinkle things into your conversations. Like something as simple as like, after church last Sunday, I went out to eat with my family or somebody from church or some friends in our small group from church or a Bible study. We got together and watched a football game, or whatever it might be. People will start to pick up things. People are more observant about those kinds of things than you think. And I also think that in our relationships with unbelievers or people who don't follow Jesus, actually Christians too. This is huge. Being real and transparent about your struggles is huge for people. And oddly enough, that can be very, very difficult for us. The average secular person, the average person, they have many, many perceptions about Christians. Some of them very accurate, and some of them not so accurate. And we as Christians, we often like to present ourselves as very a together kind of, all put together kind of people. We know it's not true. We love to appear to be right and strong, but very often we're weak and wrong. And that, I mean, think about Romans, right? Romans 5, 6 through 8. At just the kind of people that we are, at just the right time, while we were still weak, Christ died for the ungodly. That's the position they're in. We're only strong because of the Spirit of Christ that lives in us and what God has done in and through the gospel. I read a pastor, I have a quote here that always stuck with me. You know, you hear these little bits from people, almost like proverbs, quotes from things, and you think, oh, that's really great, and you always remember it. This is one I remembered from a pastor. He's an American pastor. I've always remembered this. It stuck with me, and it has applications, I think, for our interactions with unbelievers and with Christians. He says, be yourself. People may admire you for your strengths, but they will connect with you through your weaknesses. And I think that's especially, that doesn't mean the opposite, like Colossians said, be wise and let your speech always be gracious. That doesn't mean don't be that. It just means to being open and honest with unbelievers and with Christians about your weaknesses and struggles. I think that's huge. Another way to, I got 2 minutes here, another way to connect with people in normal conversations is to ask them if you can pray for them. Just the other day, I use this as an example. The same guy I mentioned that I was talking with, he was super upset because he had gone to a store. This is last Tuesday or Wednesday. I was actually with Will Anderson. He was there for this. This guy came in super angry because he'd been to a store and they charged him twice and they wouldn't give him his money back. And he was dropping F-bombs and calling them every name under the sun. And we just kind of listened. And then we just asked him, hey, can we pray for you? I think I smarted off a few things. Like, do you think that's going to do any good? You're going to go. He said you're going to go in there. He's going to go in there and say these things. I was like, do you think that's really going to do any good? But then we asked him if we could pray for him, and that dramatically changed the tone of the interaction. It calmed things down a bit. Did he become a Christian? No. Is he more open to hearing things? Yes. I actually just texted him yesterday, and said, "Is there anything I pray for you about?" And he sent back a whole string of things. It's just these little things, these little seeds that you can plant to work your way into people's life. I think that are really, really helpful. And I think I'm going to have to wrap it up. But I want to challenge you. This is at the very end of the talk. But I want to challenge you a little bit using your life. Okay, I had a whole string of things about using your life. But I want to challenge each and every person that's in here today. Like, most of us here are probably meeting with another Christian for discipleship. Try to think of one person, just one person, that's in your life who's not a follower of Jesus. Oftentimes, sharing the gospel with someone who's not a Christian, it's like we never get the plane off the ground because we think, who do I share the gospel with? Who do I spend my time with? There's unbelievers everywhere. Just choose one person. If every person in this room, I don't know how many people are in this room, maybe 50. If every person in this room just chose one person in your sphere of influence who's not a believer that you were going to connect with regularly, maybe once a week or something like that. Not that you ignore everybody else who's not a Christian, but that one person you focus on, that would be 50 people every week from Crosspoint as a church. Not a program or anything like that, just normal, every day through the warp and woof of your life that you're interacting with. That's 50 people every week who are going to repeatedly be exposed to the gospel at some level. And that's kind of what I want to leave you with today. I might pick this back up and finish the rest of it next week, but I ran out of time. Poor time management skills. So let's pray real fast, and then we'll conclude. Father, of mercy and grace, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that you came at just the right time when we were weak and wrong, and you gave us Jesus, who is completely right and strong and completely capable And we thank you, God, that you've given us this gospel and Jesus' righteousness and strength and his spirit. And Paul actually said, Lord, that that spirit, as he worked about his everyday life, sharing the gospel and planting churches and all those kinds of things, that your spirit, your power worked powerfully within him. And so I ask that you would help us today, this week, me included, Lord, to be motivated and prepared and willing to just offer up our time and lives so that people will hear about Jesus. Will you please bend our minds and our wills to think about what you think about and to want the things that you want. And we're thankful that you've actually invited us to come with you as partners in the gospel, even when you don't need us. So we pray you'd use us. We pray you would grow your church here in St. Joe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.